All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and briefly, we'll go over to chapter 36, just briefly, so you will see the point that I want to make tonight. Genesis chapter 36. Pastor Horner, I need to see you right after church. Don't let me forget that, okay? You're not in trouble. No, you're not in trouble. I might be in trouble, but you're not in trouble. All right, we are looking here at Esau's descendants. If you'll look at verse 1, it says, "Now these are the generations of Esau." And then the Holy Spirit puts a comma there and says, "Who is Edom?" Now, he does that because the Edomites are going to grow just incessantly. There will be no stopping the descendants of Esau. They just multiply. You say, well, who are the descendants of Esau? All right. Saudi Arabia. Okay. Just think of that. Jordan. Yemen. Qatar. All of these Gulf nations are the descendants of Esau, and there's innumerable. They are innumerable in count. It's just a huge people, and so he goes, starting in verse 2, telling you about Esau's wives, and you will notice here that Esau took his wives, verse 2, he took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. Now that's important, folks. Now that's real important. And I'll explain to you why in just a little bit, but take note of that. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. All right, so mark that in your Bible. All right. Now, as you last week, I pointed out to you, look at verse 14, the descendants of Esau. And you got some characters here. You've got some, as time went on, and this one had a son, and then there was another son, and then another son. Well, you get down in verse 14, and there's a guy there by the name of Korah. And you remember Korah came out of Egypt with Moses, and he was just a troublemaker. I mean, he just stirred the people, and finally he stood up in rebellion against Moses, and God just opened up the earth and swallowed him up. And that's enough of you. And so he was gone. All right, verse 16, you see Duke Korah, Duke Gadam, and Duke Amalek. You remember when the children of Israel got over into the wilderness and everything was going great, and then you turn from one chapter to the next and it says, "Then came Amalek," and just out of nowhere, surprise attack. And Amalek, every time Amalek is mentioned in the scriptures, it's always a picture, a type of the flesh. And the Amalekites were Edomites. They were just constantly fussing and fighting and feuding against Israel. All right. So the point that I wanted you to see, and what precipitated this whole thing last week, was a couple of people, two different people, as a matter of fact, just in the last month, asked me why the descendants of Esau were titled Duke. And so last week we started it, and we learned last week that a duke was a chief, the idea is like a general. He is the head of a clan, that he is the chief of that clan, and there is a military connection to it. And there is a reason that there is that military connection. All right, so let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and then we'll continue looking at the descendants of Esau. So let's pray together, all right? Father, we come to you now and just thank you so much that we have a Bible that we can study and we can learn from. And Father, I pray you'll bless our study tonight. There are so many things that we're going to say tonight, so many things we're going to see tonight. And I pray that you will give us clear minds and thoughts, and just help us to piece together the Word of God and see how all these things connect. And Lord, help us to see the Lord and to see your hand and your blessing in what we look at this evening. Give us understanding now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. Let me start this way. All right, let me start here. I'm going to take you back. Last week, I lost some of you because I didn't start at the beginning. And I want you to get caught up, all right? So we're gonna start here with Noah getting off the ark. All right? Now, let's just go to school here for a minute, all right? So you help me. Noah and his wife, they had three kids. Remember that? All right, so what were their names? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right, so they got off the boat, and we are told when they got off the boat that Noah had three kids. All right, he had those kids were all married, but they didn't have any children yet. And so God goes into great detail in the Bible explaining to us, starting in chapter 10, explaining to us the generations of these three sons. Now, why? Why? Well, it is because everything is going to be played out. Everything is going to happen based on the characteristics and the nature of the descendants of these three boys. All right, it's, again, there's nothing in the Bible that is just filler material. All right, it all means something, everything in there. And so so we got three sons here, all right? And from these three sons, they came off the ark and they started to multiply. Now, I think sometimes we make a mistake in that we think that, for instance, the descendants of, or that Ham, and Ham, you remember, means what? Hot. All right? So, and we think that the descendants of Ham, as soon as they got off the boat, that Ham went down into Africa. No, they all pretty much stayed right there. I mean, would you have taken off? I wouldn't have. There's security in numbers. And you remember that the whole world had been eradicated. There was nobody. There was nothing. Right? There are no animals except for what was on the ark. All right, now hang on to that because you're going to need that next week. All right, I'm almost done with it. Not quite, but you don't want to miss next Wednesday night. It's really thought-provoking. All right, so here's Ham. Now, his family multiplies, and God promised that the descendants of Ham would be huge, and they are. They are. All right, then you got Japheth. Japheth is another very interesting family, and the way that that they developed and the way that they spread, they kind of stayed in the area. If you go back to chapter 10, you will see that the sons of Japheth pretty well stayed in the area. They settled in what is today Turkey. Turkey. You look at chapter 10 and verse 2. It says the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras. And if you will just go look at some old maps, you will find out that all of these names here are like counties or like districts in Turkey. Turkey is a huge country. It is huge. And the sons of Japheth settled in that area. Gomer and Magog and Madai. These are all parts of Turkey. And then you've got the sons of Shem in verse 21. So the three sons. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Ham descendants and the Japheth descendants are the Gentiles. And the descendants of Shem are the Jews. They are the Jews. Okay? And I taught you last week the name Shem, it simply means the name. The name. And God called the Jews, Abraham, out of the descendants of Shem. And they were to bear his name. Just like today, you and I are Christians, Christ ones. We carry the name of Christ. And back in the Old Testament, the idea was that the Jews were to be a light to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles, that the Jews were to be a light to show the rest of the world the truth of where they came from and the truth about God. And what is so sad is they did not do that. And they ended up under the judgment of God. But you've got in Genesis 10, when they step off the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So you've got the foundation of the people that God is going to deal with in the rest of the Bible. All right, so Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right, now from Shem came a generation. And from Ham came a generation. And the descendants of Ham are dealt with pretty thoroughly by God. If you look at chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, and the sons of Ham. So now he's going to tell us who Ham's children were. And you'll look at verse 6. It says Cush and Mizraim and Put. And what's the next word? Canaan. All right. Now, when God spoke to Abraham up in the up in Haran, and got up along the river, God told Abraham, "Get down to a land that I will show thee." Remember that? He said, "I want you to walk the length and the breadth of that land." What land was it? The land of Canaan, exactly. All right, are you piecing it together now? All right, so here's three. They got off the boat. And remember, three is always the number of completion in the Bible. And so here's three, they get off the boat. And God is now going to tell us the story. He's going to give us his story. That's what history is, his story. He's going to give us history and show us our world. He's going to show us why our world is like it is. And so here's the sons of Shem, the name, and in that line, a couple generations later, here's a man named Abraham. He is a descendant of Shem. He does not live in Israel. There was no Israel yet. Okay? He lived in the land of Canaan. Very good. Four of you got it. Follow me, folks. I'm not trying to trick you here. I'm trying to get you to see how this whole thing unfolds. Okay? And so here's Shem, and he has kids, and then his kids have kids, and theirs, and a couple hundred years go by, and then Abraham is born. He does not live in Israel. He lives up in Haran, up in northern Syria, all right, just right below Turkey. And so here God speaks to him and says, "Get up and get out and go down to a land that I will show you. And I want you to walk the length and the breadth of that land. And all that land that you visit, that you walk in, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed forever." Wow. That's pretty cool, don't you think? God chose Abraham to bear his name. Now, you've noticed that for everything God does, the devil has a counter for it, right? We've learned that. Everything God gives, everything God has, the devil has a counter for it. And so the devil took one of Noah's sons by the name of Ham, and he started working in his heart. And what do you get? You get, what does Ham mean? Hot. And so what you get with the descendants of Ham are a bunch of hotheads. That's basically what you get. You get a bunch of rebels. You get people that don't want to cooperate. They don't want to get along. They just want their own. They want their own way. Now, I'm not talking about every person. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm not saying that every descendant of Ham is that way. And folks, we are so intermarried and intermingled between Ham, Shem, and Japheth today, 4,000 plus years later, that it would be impossible to stand here, anybody stand here and say, "You are a descendant of this, of Japheth, and you are a descendant." We're so intermingled that it would be impossible to do that today. But as a general rule, the descendants that settled in that region, they still have that mindset. Now, you couple that with this evil religion that is called Islam, that just capitalizes on that built-in DNA, and you've got a handful of trouble that you're dealing with. All right? And so look at your Bible. In verse 6, the sons of Ham. and go down to verse 8. It says, and Cush begat Nimrod. All right, so he began to be a mighty one in the earth. So here is Nimrod. Now, what did Nimrod do? Well, turn the page to chapter 11. And when you turn the page to chapter 11, you see that Nimrod was the brain thrust and the might behind the Tower of Babel. Now, look at verse 4. And they said, who's they? The people of Babel, the ones building the tower. They said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Well, who's in heaven? They were trying to take over. They were trying to get rid of God. Now, little did they know, all they had to do was create a Democrat party and they could have done that by vote. I mean, they could have just voted to do that. Let us build us a tower. Why? So we can go take over. Look at this. And let us. Do you notice all these personal pronouns? Let us build us. And let us make us a Shem. What are they saying? They're saying, we don't want your name, God. We want our own name. We don't need you. Kind of sounds like Democrat Party, doesn't it? Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered across the face of the earth. Now, you remember when Noah got off the ark, he said, scatter. Fill up the earth. And they said, oh, no. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. We all know that. So that's the sons of Ham. That's Nimrod. And so you have the three boys, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and God is now going to tell the story. Shem is the line. He's the son. And from him came Abraham. And from Abraham, you remember, came Ishmael and who? Isaac, exactly. All right, now, you remember that Abraham was promised by God that this land that you just walked through from the great river down to the Nile, from the Euphrates down to the Nile. And by the way, they have never possessed, the closest they ever got to it was under Solomon, but they have never possessed that land from the Euphrates all the way down to the Nile River in Egypt. They never have, which includes, by the way, Saudi Arabia and Yemen. All right? It includes all that, and Bahrain and United Arab Emirates and Qatar and all the that, but they've never possessed all that land, never. Closest they ever got to it was under Solomon. But even under Solomon, the greatest king they ever had, so far as prosperity and power goes, they never possessed the promise that God made to Abraham. You say, well, when will they? When the Lord comes back. When the Lord gives it to them. All right? You see, therein is where a lot of folks make their mistake. This would be a good time to transition here, all right? If I don't remember, y'all bring me back, okay? All right, watch. So here comes the line of Shem. And you got Abraham and then Isaac. And so here's Ishmael over here. And Ishmael goes, well, wait a minute. I was the firstborn. But God said, no, Abraham, I promised you and Sarah one of your own. Now, what was the problem with Ishmael? Well, his mother was an Egyptian. You say, well, what was wrong with that? She was not from the line of Shem. And the promise goes through the line of Shem. Folks, go Go to Luke. Go to Matthew. Look at the genealogies, and you will see that it goes back through Abraham, back to Shem, back to Noah, back to Adam. So God has a purpose here. God has a purpose. He has a plan. And so here they come right along, and God says, no, it's not Ishmael, but I'm going to bless Ishmael. I'm going to bless him. He's going to be a great nation. And that's what chapter 36 is all about. But there is a difference in the descendants of Ham from the descendants of Shem. You say, well, what's the difference, all right? The main difference is that on the surface, I mean, it's kind of obvious when you read their stories. Just to illustrate it, in verse chapter 36, they're all described as dukes. They all cheat. They're all chiefs. And what is that signifying? Well, it is signifying that they were warriors. They were fighters. When the children of Israel left Egypt and came to the Red Sea, you remember Pharaoh's army came after them to kill them all. And they got right to the sea, and all of a sudden, the Shekinah, the glory, the cloud, went back over the children of Israel, took them right down to the sea, then went over their heads and separated the children of Israel from Pharaoh's army. And God fought for them. Do you remember when they went into the land? And God said, here's what I want you to do. They came to Jericho, first city. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to get some trumpets. And you go and you march around the city and blow the trumpets. And on the seventh day, you march seven times around the city. And when they obeyed the word of the Lord, what happened? The walls fell in. God fought for them. When they were in the valley of Elah and they needed some more time, God caused the earth to stop rotating for a few minutes. Why? So they'd have enough daylight to finish the job. And folks, the point is that every time you turn around, God was fighting for them. God was leading them. Point is, they were shepherds, not warriors. God fought for them. All they had to do was follow God and trust God, and God would fight for them, and God would deliver them. So we see the difference in the mentality and the difference in the mindset. So here are the descendants of Shem, and they're God's chosen people. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, too bad. It's just the way it is. You say, well, why did God choose them? You'll have to ask him someday. I don't know. But he did. That was his plan. All right? Now, there's Isaac and Ishmael. And God said, Isaac is the one who will receive the covenant. And so, I will bless Ishmael. I will make of him a great nation. Now, let me show you something here. Go to chapter 16. Go to chapter 16 for just a minute. There's one aspect of Ishmael that you got to see. All right, look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, now the her is Hagar, Ishmael's mother, Sarah's handmaid, Hagar the Egyptian. All right? The angel said of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So God made a promise to Hagar that he is going to bless the descendants of Ishmael. And folks, he has. That's what chapter 36 is all about. Giving the genealogy of the descendants of Ishmael and Esau. All right? And verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. All right? That word, that name means God shall hear. God shall hear. All right? And because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now watch this 12th verse. And he will be a, what's the next word? Wild man. The Ishmaelites will be a wild man. He and his people, that's the implication. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Doesn't that sound familiar? And every man's hand against him. People ask me all the time, Pastor, why do they blow their own brethren up? It's their nature. And God knew what was it. God knew. He knew. And he tells us here, every man's hand shall be against him, and every man's, his hand will be against every man, and every man against him. I think it was the first trip that Karen and I took to Israel, and Michael Elmog was our guide. And Michael was telling about in Beirut, and I did not ever, I mean, until last summer when I went to Beirut, I'd never been there, but last summer when I went there to preach, I thought of that story often because Beirut is right on the coast, and you go right up off the water, and then it goes straight up, just straight up. And they have built the city into the mountain, literally built the city into the mountain. It's an amazing city, just amazing. And Michael was telling about how there was a fella on top of that mountain, and he had a mortar gun and just boxes of shells. And he was a Lebanese man. He was an Arab. And he was just sitting up there, dropping the mortars down in, just lob, and boom, blow, killing people right down in the heart of the city. And they thought the Israelis were shooting at him. I mean, they, you know, planes started flying. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And helicopters were up in the air. And here was this guy sitting up there, and he just dropping mortars and pew, just launching them right down into the city. And finally, the army got to him, and they grabbed him and stopped him. And they said, what are you doing? And he said, what do you mean? He said, you're killing people down there. Why are you doing this? He said, because it's here. That was his answer. Because it's here. Where do you get that mindset? Where do you get that mentality? But that's the mentality. He will be the one who starts the fights. That's what J.B. Phillips said about that phrase. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. In other words, he'll be the one that starts the fights. And certainly that has been the case. The descendants of Ishmael, the Palestinian people, that they are the descendants of Ishmael, and they are the ones that start the fights every time. So there's the godly line of Jacob, and then there's the line, the ungodly line of Ishmael. All right, so everybody follow me? All right, so here, three. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right? God chooses Shem, the name. And then Isaac. And Ishmael is over here. Now, for everything God has, the devil has a counter for it. So God chooses this line, and the devil starts his work in this line. All right? And gets hearts. Now, how did he do that? How did he do that? Well, we learned in 2010 and 11 that when they built that tower, they did not build it without a religion. There was a religion. It was every culture has its religion. Every culture. And the Tower of Babel was a rejection of God, a rejection of the name, and they had their own religion. Now, that religion was called Baal. Baal. And you'll remember the religion of Baal is all through your Old Testament. When the children of Israel left Egypt, came into Israel, they met up against the Canaanites, the people that lived there, the descendants of Ham who lived there, the Canaanites, the sons of Canaan. And they were worshipers of Baal. And we learned back in 2010, and I'm not going to take the time to go through all that again, but we learned that that religion was built on the worship of the moon god. All right, and that's what Islam is built on. On the top of every mosque is that crescent moon. It is the worship of the moon god. And I don't have time to go into all that. I'm going to take for granted that you remember at least enough of that to get you through. But Baal and the worship of Baal was something that the children of Israel had to deal with continuously. Now, you'll remember, and I hope you remember, that when they came into the land, God told Joshua to get rid of the Canaanites. Remember that? You say, man, that was awful brutal. Well, God knew that if they didn't get rid of them, that they would become them. And sure enough, that's what happened. They tolerated that religion. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the world rubs off on you, whether you realize it or not. It rubs off on you. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. It rubbed off on them. And so when the Ishmaelites, the Palestinians, it was just a constant battle, with the children of Israel. What was their force? What was their driving force? It was the worship of Baal. They had altars everywhere, and they just would not let up, and they didn't let up. And you'll remember that when David died and his son Solomon took the throne, Solomon was, they say he was the wisest man that ever lived. Well, in some areas, probably so, but in some areas, he was as dumb as a box of rocks. And I say that because he ended up marrying 700 women. And then he had 300 concubines. Now, that's a lot of mother-in-laws, don't you think? And Solomon had a lot of children. And many of his wives were Canaanites and Saudis. The queen of Sheba. Sheba means south. Yemen, south. the queen of the south. And he married these women all over the kingdom and had children with them. Now, can you imagine some holy day comes along and they're having a program at the mosque, and Mrs. Solomon, number 642, says, "Oh, honey, you've got to come and watch little Solomon Jr. in his program tonight." And so Solomon goes to the mosque, and he hears it, and he hears it, and this happens week in and week out and month in and month out. And what happened? They stole away his heart. I'm telling you, folks, for everything God has, the devil has a counter for it. Everything. And so here in this 16th chapter, God tells us what the Ishmaelites will be and what they will do. God said he'll be a wild man, a wild man. And it's just the nature that is in them. So we have Ishmael, whose descendants are the Palestinian people. All right, everybody with me so far? All right, we got these three, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. God says, I'm going to go through Shem. And then here comes Ham, and Ishmael is born, and Isaac is born. God says, Abraham, Isaac. So Ishmael, in rebellion, looks to Mama and says, Mom, I need a wife. Mom gets him wives of the Hamites. So right here is where Ishmael identifies not with the name, not with Shem, not with godly Abraham, but right here is where Ishmael sides, joins, unites, identifies with the descendants of Ham. Do you see that? And that's what I was trying to get you to see last week, and I just ran out of time. And I knew I had lost about half of you when I got to it, because you were giving me that glazed look. But do you understand it now? All right. So that's when you started seeing this conflict start, and it starts with rebellion. Remember the Hamites, rebellion. And here's Ishmael, and he rebels against his dad and against the name. All right, let me show you this a little further. Go over to chapter 28, and I'll show you the contrast. Oh, it's already 10 after. Good grief. You know, when we all get to heaven, and after we start eternity, I'm just going to call everybody over and I'm going to preach till I get done. All right? Will y'all listen? Will you listen? All right? Look at chapter 28, Genesis 28. Let me show you the contrast here. All right? Look at 28:1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. All right, so here's the godly line, Shem, and here's Abraham, then Isaac, and then you remember there was Jacob and Esau. Now, who was born first? Esau. That's exactly right. And by law, Esau should have gotten the blessing. It's the godly line should have went from Abraham to Isaac to Esau. But we learn in the New Testament that Esau was a profane man. He despised the name. He didn't want anything to do with the name. He was so full of himself so self-centered. You ever see these people that, oh, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time for God. All they want is just for themselves. No accountability. I don't have time for God. And they don't want anything to do with God. They are profane. The fane, F-A-N-E, the fane is the threshold. It's the doorway. And pro means before. And the idea behind profane, the idea is that you're not guarding the door. You're not guarding the door of your heart. You're just open for whatever is. There's no discernment. The doors are open. The door of your heart is just open. Whatever comes, comes. Que sera, sera. And that's the way the majority of the world lives today. You know, whatever opportunity is presented. And there's no mind for God. And God said that that's the way Esau was. He was a profane man. And he turned his back. He could have had the birthright. He could have had the promise. He could have had the covenant, but he didn't want it. And so it went to Jacob. It went to Jacob. And so here is Shem, and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, just like you had Isaac and Ishmael turned the wrong way, and he took the wrong turn, here is now Jacob and Esau. All right, now, here's what, after Isaac realized that Esau didn't want anything to do with it and saw that God had intervened and Isaac had put his blessings on Jacob and had given the birthright to Jacob, albeit by deceit, but nonetheless, it had happened and Isaac was at peace with it. And Isaac said, he called Jacob, verse 1, and blessed him and charged him and said, now, what's he going to say to him? Well, here's what he says. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Why? Why? Hamites. Keep it right here. Keep it right here. What are we doing? We're trying to fulfill the promise that was made 2,000 years before Noah, when Adam sinned, that God was going to send the Redeemer. And now that's what the rest of the Bible is all about, showing us how God did that even in the midst of a world full of sinners working against him. Amazing. Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 sons, and those 12 sons, shepherds, not a warrior in them. But God gave them that land. God gave them that land. And God blessed them. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. All right, did you get all that? I hate to do this, but you got any questions about this? You see, folks, this is your Bible. You say, Pastor, why do you think this is important for us to know? You need to realize that this did not just happen. This was all by design. You've got a God who made all this happen to provide a way of redemption for you and for me. Wow. He reached down in the mire and picked us out and set our feet upon a solid rock and put a new song in our hearts, even praise to his name, and so we would serve him and love him. But we could not do that if we had not had a Redeemer. And the only way we could have a Redeemer was for God to bring him here. Imagine, look at what God had to work with. Oh my goodness, that Jacob. You talk about a mess. That boy was a mess. Sneaky. Oh man, we had a kid when we were growing up, and my dad used to say, and this guy, this little kid, he was the sneakiest little varmint. I mean, he was a snake. And my dad used to always say, oh, I'd just like to take my belt off and wear that boy out. Dad, you can't do that. That's not your kid. He said, no, but I want that sneaky little thing. But he was always sneaking around doing stuff. Well, Jacob was worse than 10 of them. Conniving. But wait a minute. God got a hold of Jacob, and Jacob became Israel. Prince with God. That's what getting saved will do for you. And eventually, here comes Jesus through the line of Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. And it just keeps right on going. Finally, Jesus. So there's design, there's purpose. And so what's going on over in the Holy Land today? You've got the Hamites, and you've got the Ishmaelites, and you've got the Esau. They're all fighting little old Israel. Why? Because they've been fighting little old Israel from the beginning. It's nothing new. The Ishmaelites are over there saying, this is our land. This is our, Abraham was our father. And the Jews are saying, oh, no, no, no. This is our land. Abraham was our father. You say, well, how are you going to settle this? Well, the United Nonsense, our nations is not going to do it. And Jimmy Carter couldn't do it. And Ronald Reagan couldn't do it. And Clinocchio couldn't do it. And the Bushes couldn't do it. Obama couldn't do it. And Trump's not going to do it either. You say, well, how do you know? Because nobody can do it until Jesus comes and does it. You say, well, how do you know that? Right here in the book. It's right here in the book. So that's why it is the way it is over there. And so here are all these Edomites who are identified with Ham. Here are all these Ishmaelites who are identified with Ham. And what is the tie that binds? These are two separate groups of people. Ishmaelites, Esau. Two different sets of people. What binds them together? Well, it's this old nasty religion called Islam. That's what binds them together. And they see themselves as brothers in arms. Let me tell you something, folks. The Saudis and the Yemenites are more blood related to Israel than they are to anybody. Oh, yeah. Think about that. I got a little blurb Sunday morning in the back of the bulletin. And I may have to deal with this one because it's it's just amazing. It hit the news yesterday. It hit the news yesterday. You remember 2 weeks ago when that guy blew up a bomb in the Iranian consulate over there in Tehran? Remember that? Well, the Iranians are blaming the Saudis. Well, I don't want to get into it because I won't stop. But, man, you talk about lighting things up. And now you've got Turkey sending troops into Qatar to protect the emir of Qatar. Well, Saudis and Qatar, they see themselves as of the same brand of Islam. They see themselves as brothers. And now here comes the Shiites the Iranians backing Turkey to go into Qatar? Ooh, 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 ooh. And man, but of course, all, you know, all we care about is what Ivanka Trump wore to work today. You know? All we care about is which Kardashian got another round of injections in her lips. You know? That's all we care about. That's all our media cares about. You're not going to hear anything. You won't turn Fox on or the Clinton News Network, CNN. You won't turn any of them on and hear this. But it's about that far from explosion over there. And what is so interesting is when you get here in your Bible, and by the way, Egypt backing the Saudis. United States backing the Saudis. Remember, Trump was just over there last week. Remember that? Oh, it's getting ripe. Getting ripe. Even so come, Lord Jesus. All right, so you know what a duke is now? You ever hear that in the future? You say, oh yeah, that's a chief. That's a warrior. That's a fighter. Well, the Esau's descendants were chief. Yep, that's what they are. That's what they were, and that's what they are. All right? The children of Israel, shepherds. God fought for them. And by the way, God's going to fight for them again. All right, well, that was one page. That's the way it goes.